should have had your wine. I'm not a wine girly, but do you think nails are cunt?
Thank you. See. I was looking at yours.
Okay, so I'm going to my girl. Have you heard of Vanity Projects?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So my girl Kelly, I see her every time I'm in town. Okay. So my appointment's tomorrow at 1.
Cool.
Okay, and your next appointment is with Carolina.
Oh, I saw. No, Manita, for real. I really would love
She's
for you to play.
Nails.
You're really hitting it. Also, like, you know, like, we have to be the best at everything. So I'm like, oh, this bitch is, like, just getting started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with it. I watch so many nail videos. It's my new art form.
Is it? Did you do these?
Huh? No. Oh. These are press-ons. Because while I'm doing lots of nails, I don't want to have, it's hard to have my nails done because I'm, like, getting nail polish on them.
Into it.
So I think it's easier when I'm, like, just can take these off and put on new ones.
No, yeah, for sure.
She's got a gel. She's got a light. You're putting
no, I saw
light.
That.
It's
I
crazy.
Saw you were doing like Easter egg meets like goth or something.
It was like futuristic, but also Easter egg.
Yeah. No, I got the pastels on it, and then we
that
had
was
like
Paris's nails. I had two appointments yesterday, an early morning one, and then I had like a afternoon one.
Well, you could do Marie's. Marie busts down on her nails.
She says I have to practice more.
I'm kind of in that camp too, but I'm being really supportive.
Which one do you want?
Wait, because Melissa, your nails, oh my God, everything. I love your rings.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you so much. Well, I just need, go for it. I just need length. Mm-hmm. And Carolina has been doing like a really short almonds.
These are shorter. This is like too short for me. Like I'm like minimum where you're at.
I like those.
But I've started boxing again and I can't have these sacrifice my health.
I went to Rumble recently.
Okay.
And it was
she loves Rumble.
I love Rumble too, but I was like, it was bad.
No, it was bad. So I had to break it down here, but this is still long enough for me.
Yeah.
But Carolina, I would love for you to do it.
Yeah.
I would love for you to do it. I trust
But, you know, just, I don't charge anyone. Obviously, it's literally just me doing it for fun.
Yeah.
But just, you know, be patient with me. Yeah. Be patient with me.
Which is not what you love
journey.
To hear at a nail salon.
Yeah.
You like confidence and,
I'm confident, but just be patient with me. I'm not fat.
Expertise.
No,
is what
truly.
I'm saying.
No, I'm going to come over. I'm going to grab food.
Yeah.
Your cat's going to scare me.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to go in and out of probably Jersey Shore because, you know, Sammy's back.
Yeah.
And you're watching Jersey Shore?
Oh, let me tell you.
You're watching the current
version. Let me tell
version.
You my type of TV, okay? I'm either watching high, like fucking genre bending, fucking Atlanta world jumping, Housewives. Like there's there's no middle ground. And sometimes like right now I'm writing my show. So I just want to be on like autopilot, but literally Jersey Shore, I'm like bend down gang. Like I think when I met with MTV, they were like, oh, like what's like your dream show to work on with us? I said, I want to host that fucking reunion.
Yes.
Serious. Oh my God. I went literally one of my best friends. I call
you
her Snooks.
Should.
Like she's so little. And I'm like the JWoww to her Snooks. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I fucking love Jersey Shore.
Well, you know, I worked at a bar in college and they all came for like an event. And I don't think I should say cast members' names, but one girl cheated on her boyfriend with one of the guys in the cooler. It was like a big drama for our staff.
Snooki.
One of the girls left with the guy that you would not want to leave with.
Of course.
The situation. Uh-huh. And we all watched her walk across the streets to his hotel. It tore our staff apart. Like cheating on boyfriends within our community. Like it was crazy. Like
was,
one girl hooked up with Ronnie.
It was fun.
It was. It was really exciting. It was really exciting.
Yes. No, I love
that cast.
I love it so much. I think season 3 is the greatest piece of reality television next to season 6 of Real Housewives of Atlanta. I put them up together toe to toe.
Is that the note? The note to Jay, who cheated on who? Sammy, the note to Sammy.
Well, that who wrote the note? That's season 2. That's Miami. Season 3, she comes back, and that's the iconic scene where she breaks up around. They have like this big drawn out fight that lasts forever, and everybody comes upstairs like, you guys have to stop fighting. And the way that they're going at each other is truly just demonic. And she's like, he like lifts her bed, like Ronnie is so strong.
Oh my God.
And she's like fucking swag surfing on her goddamn mattress. And then she was like, you know what? I'm fucking going out. I want to see some hot guys. And I'm moving downstairs. She puts on that blue flower dress and she like starts like bumping and grinding on these men. And Ronnie is like, oh my God. Like, he, I mean, that character's journey, right? Like, he is just on when he comes back. He's fucking grabbing all of her glasses.
That character's journey.
Yes. It is. Yes. No, truly. No. And then Ronnie, he's like fucking angry. He's like fucking up all her shit. She had like truly went to Warby Parker. She had like 20 pairs of glasses. He's like, bam, 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 bam. And she comes on and she's just like, toxic. What, dude? Like, what? And he's just like, what? Come here. Talk to me. You don't love me? I was like, oh my God. Like, I was so invested in the drama. It was so good. That was that. And then remember, Sammy left, right?
Yes.
And then Ronnie, I remember it's episode 9, I think, is the Great Depression when his dad comes back. Oh my and then God. Ronnie has that whole journey internally. He starts getting better, getting better. Who pops up? Fucking Sammy, sweetheart. And then it just goes downhill more and more and more because she was texting, oh boy, when she was away. Technically, y'all wasn't together, but it's kind of like that toxic shit. We not together, but you still mine. And so remember that, oh boy, he came up to fucking where they used to party at?
Her ex?
No, it was like a friend. Mm-hmm. Orvin! Who fucking texted Orvin?
I have to look back at the text. I don't remember any of this.
Yes, oh my God. I know it word for word, bar for bar. I rewatched season 3.
That is insane.
Just in the shower.
I'm shook right now.
Season 4, when they went to Italy, fucking Sammy and Gianni.
I didn't see that.
Okay, I remember
when
that.
When fucking Mike with Sammy, we know that you slapped on his knob. We know. Why are you this angry?
But you know what?
Any man that accused me of some shit and I didn't do, I'm not pressed. I don't give a fuck. I know I didn't fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But no, that's this portion of Host with Feelings.
That was great. I'm inspired. No, we watch a lot of trash.
We watch a lot of reality television.
Love is Blind. Are we going to get into it?
Oh, we should get into it. But okay. I do want to say we have one segment and it's called Unpack.
Okay. Yeah.
And you bring something to the table that you want to unpack that you'd probably unpack in therapy if you wanted to. Or something from life. Yeah. Or it could just be like something from life. Like, Glory was back in New York from L.A., and she just talked about what it's like to be back at home in New York from being in L.A.
Oh, okay.
And like how being in New York, she just feel like everyone just wants her to go somewhere. Like, just whatever. And then should we introduce?
I think so.
But also, it's like, how can we introduce?
No, listen, I came in hot. I fucked up the...
Yeah, she came in yelling at me about my Mounjaro use.
Oh, and we're going to get into
that.
We should definitely...
We
could unpack that.
We could definitely unpack that. Oh, yeah. So our guest today is X Mayo, a writer, a producer, an actress, a comedian, an improvisational player.
Don't look down on that year.
Which means for many years I didn't make any money.
Yes. But she's in so many TV shows, movies.
That have been canceled.
But still, like...
No.
Let me tell you something about X. X always has 1,000 pots on the stove. She's always mixing, sprinkling in. Mm-hmm. She's always working. She's always booked. She's always busy. She's doing things for Nike. She's working out. She's raising a teenager. Her brother, like... She's always like, I literally just sent him
some money right before we walked in.
Yeah,
because I need him to focus on school. He's going to Morehouse this fall. So I'm like, Papa, I really need you to do well. And I'm grateful to be in a place financially to where my baby doesn't have to work and go to school. I think everyone's not built for that. That's a lot. And I think
I wasn't built for it.
And I say, if you don't have to, so I don't want you to do it.
God bless.
I could barely do school.
I know. School's I dropped hard. Out. It was bad. But yes, I'm so excited to be here on Hoes with Feelings.
Yes.
I love Catalina and I just met you.
And I love you already.
And we love the nail game.
Thank you.
The fit, everything.
Yeah,
I mean, literally same. The lip gloss is sending me because
it's a liner and the lip gloss?
It's a liner, it's a lipstick, and then a gloss on top.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm discovering now. A friend just did my lips like a dark red, like brown situation. And I was like, great, how do I do this? Oh, and she's like, 7 products that I used to. I was like, oh, cool. Thank you.
Then you got to line it, then you got to blot it, then you got to matte it, then you got to lip it.
And powder, and then whatever.
I'm wearing lip gloss, and I will stay that way.
I know.
But I do eyeshadow, I feel like if I'm doing the eyeshadow, I can't do both. It's too much.
I
do a lot of eyeshadows. I do a lot of, you know, colors, and I feel like that's where I.
What flavor is this?
Watermelon Ice.
A little vape. Bar.
Yeah, we vape and
I quit vaping except on
the pot. When she's with me. Yeah.
Okay, but that vape, that's weed in there. Mm-mm.
Oh. This is gorgeous.
I know.
Oh, don't do that to me.
Wait, so what's in the vape? Is tobacco?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's terrible.
It's a bad habit.
Yeah, because it's like cigarettes.
Yeah. I feel like you are going to tear me apart today.
And you should. And you should.
I have to come back to your face. I'm moving back here.
I'm on Mounjaro and I vape.
Oh, my God.
I'm a bad girl.
You are a bad girl.
No, no.
Bad influence on me.
No. And who the fuck are you hanging around? Absolutely not. No,
it's not me.
We're shutting it down. We're shutting it down. We're shutting that down, and there is no Mounjaro. So here's my issue is this a camera?
Yeah. No, look right to it.
This is my issue with Catalina being on Mounjaro. Literally, Catalina and I have the same body type. I used to have so many qualms and insecurities about mm-hmm. my body. Catalina has none, and that was mm-hmm. so freeing to me. And I haven't seen that in real life. I saw that on screen with the girl who played Josie in Love Jones. That was Nia Long's. Actually, just celebrated 27 years of Love Jones. Shout out to Nia Long and Lorenz Tate.
Shout out to Nia Long and Lorenz Tate.
Yes. So Josie is in it, and she's very top heavy, mm-hmm. and she's not very thick at the bottom. So that's what I've only seen her. And then I see Catalina, and she's like Savage X Fenty. She looks so fucking beautiful and hot, and I just never thought I could really look like that. I never thought that I was allowed. I never thought that women my body type, that was even like okay for us to do. I don't know why I had limitations. And then I meet Catalina, who like tears all that shit down. And I literally told her when I played this stripper in Swarm, I was like, look what that tobacco is doing to you.
Sorry.
Look at that.
That was like a big burp.
It was like healthy soda. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, fine. The kombucha.
Kombucha, right. Yes. But when I was channeling this character, and I was like,
and what was that in?
Swarm.
Swarm. Okay, cool.
Yes, I'm in episode 2. I play this stripper named Cheeks.
Love.
And I was
like, that would so be me to inspire amazing. A stripper. Thank you very much.
That's, yes. This is a huge that is an honor. To you.
No, yeah. Truly. I was like, I have to, because guys, I had so many issues about being, I was naked and I was like top heavy. I was topless for some time, but then I was naked and I was like, okay, who do I have to channel? And I thought of Catalina immediately, and I was literally thinking about her the whole time. So that's I'm amazing. Like the woman who made me love my body more and love it just as how it is. It has no flaws. There's nothing wrong with it is now subscribing to this fucking thing.
Okay, let me say something. I'm not subscribing to anything. I qualified to get it. My doctor was like, you can get it.
And the BMI scale is racist, which shout out to that, because that's how I got to get my vaccine early. Okay. Because the BMI scale is racist.
Me too.
I was like, I'm obese.
Me too.
The BMI scale said,
big fat lady, okay, give it to
so
me.
Put me in the line with the motherfuckers that need it immediately. Okay.
Me too.
Bitch.
Yeah. Shoot me up.
Yeah.
So I could get it, and I was like, why not? I want to try it. Also, my goal isn't to be a bobblehead.
Okay.
My goal, I don't expect to become Melissa. No shade. Melissa's not
a
bobblehead.
No, Melissa, we love
but
your
I feel
body.
Like if I went from being like this my entire life to then waking up one day being like Melissa, I would, my brain would be scrambled. And I have a friend who was on it, and she lost a lot of weight, and she's like, it's fucked up a little bit mentally.
Yeah.
And I hear that and I see that. I do not plan to be on this forever. I don't plan to lose 1,000 pounds.
Okay.
I do need to lose some weight because I want to try to have a baby.
Yes.
And I have PCOS.
Uh-huh.
And I do need to lose some weight.
Okay.
It's not because I'm like, I want to be skinny. I want to try it a little bit. I want to see what happens. If it's going to help me, then yeah.
But it stops your appetite.
No. It doesn't. It curbs your appetite. It stops you from being like snacky, but it doesn't make me never want to eat. I definitely still eat. And I have my period right now, and the Mounjaro works. But I have my period this week, and this whole week, I mean, the beginning of this week and like the end of last week, that shit was not working because I had my period, my hormones. I was
hungry.
Did you see
Tracy Morgan was like, I can out eat Ozempic. I gained weight on Ozempic, which I loved. Yeah. I thought that was really
so
fun.
I was like, don't worry that I'm going to be like, I'm trying to like be gaunt. I'm not.
Yeah.
That's not my goal. My goal is just to help me get to where I need to go.
Beautiful.
I know.
So that I can go to the doctor and be like, okay, mama, what we got to do to put a little bun in the oven?
Yeah, no. And I want my little gay nephew.
Yeah.
I truly want that for me and for you.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. So please now I'm a little clearer on the Manjaro. Mm-hmm, now we have, it's a little layered.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure, because you know, I'm in LA. Honey, you can get that at Burger King.
Yeah. The bitches are getting into the burgers.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I'm just like,
you need to take it.
Yeah, Melissa. Yeah. So I'm just kind of like, and you know, I love you. I'm emotional. Yes. You know, I love you.
Me too. But I also feel like it's okay to do it. Like, my friend Chloe lost weight and like, she still looks like herself. She didn't lose that much weight where she's like, you don't know who she is. And she lost weight. And I think she even is like, first of all, I still feel like I'm still plus size. And she was like, and I also like feel weird being this less fat, but it's like, I'm glad that I did it. So I'm like, I'm just trying it out. It's not forever.
And now I understand that goal.
I had lamb for breakfast this morning.
PCOS is hard.
PCOS is so hard.
I had fibroids and endometriosis. Like, having hormonal issues are just.
Everyone has PCOS. Everyone has cysts on their ovaries. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels, I'm not trying to get conspiracy, but I'm like, I do not know right now, like, one woman. I mean, like, we're in our early 30s. Everyone's looking at, like, egg freezing, having babies, and pretty much everyone I know has cysts, at least, if not PCOS.
Mm-hmm. Or a fibroid that's like kind of small. Well, the thing is, 70% of white women have them, 80% of black and brown women have them. So like, if you line up 10 white women, 7 out of 10 of them have it. Oh, I didn't know about the
70% of white women.
Oh, yeah. Oh, baby, honey, it's all of us. We're all fucked.
Yeah.
So it's bad. And did you know endometriosis could get around your anus? My friend had to get it removed from, bitch, it can crawl its ass back there.
What?
Yeah. When she got surgery, they were like, you had some on your anus. I had it on both sides of my uterus, which is why so many women, like, their ass is shot, like, when they have cramps or, like, they bleed so much out their ass. Like, yes. Mm-hmm. Any men listening, keep listening, because you motherfuckers keep wanting to be inside of a pussy but don't know shit about it.
Yep, you need to learn.
I mean, most of our male listeners are gay, and they have their own. We'll do a Fisher's episode as well, you know.
Yeah, but all my gays, they're like, oh, honey, I know. They get my pads. My bestie, Justin, he knows. He was like, honey, I know. He just looks at me. He's like, oh, my God, do you want a heating pad? I'll make you a brownie. Yeah, they're so good.
I mean, it just seems like there's something up, but maybe it's just being a woman.
Yeah.
It's really crazy.
No, it is. It is just being a woman, and there is something up. But I also just feel like with the Manjaro thing, I'm excited because I'm like, what gonna happen? I love medicine. Well, I'm a person who loves Grey's Anatomy, The Good Doctor, New Amsterdam. I love a medical procedural.
The only person
procedural.
Watching New Amsterdam. What? I said maybe the only person watching New Amsterdam that I've ever heard of. I did New not Amsterdam. Know one person also, was watching look, that.
X was on The Good Doctor.
I was.
Which one's The Good Doctor?
The Good Doctor is with the autistic doctor.
I do want to watch that. That looks amazing.
This is Who did you play on show? That?
I was the season three finale,
She owned a marijuana store.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Yes, and they were like wrongfully diagnosing me because of my size, and me and the black doctor there, who's played by Antonia, had a really emotional
and like, she's British moment. In real life.
She is, and she's a sweetie.
Mm-hmm.
She's so sweet.
She was on one of my favorite British TV shows that I used to watch when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called, what the fuck was it called? It's like, oh, I can't think of the name, but they have like superpowers and everything like that. When I tell you this girl, I knew she was always gonna be a star.
I always knew she was gonna be a star. Fucking knew it, yeah. Okay, well.
Do you have a favorite role?
On Manjaro and now I support.
Thank you.
Based on now having more context, which is why you should get more context about things. But I'm just so overprotective of you because I love you. And I'm just like,
Yeah.
And she does need to hear that. I think you do need to hear that because I think it's easy for anyone to get swept up. Like Oprah just did this special. I didn't see it. I was literally like,
I saw clips on TikTok.
Did you?
Yeah.
What did you think of
Manjaro,
that?
About Manjaro, about like the people talking about it and like.
But I was really,
because
kind of
surprised there is a side of it where people really do struggle and they feel like they do need it and it does change their lives. I don't think that being skinnier will change my life in terms of like improving my, you know, quality of life. I just know that I need to do it because I do.
It's health reasons.
Have a little baby.
Yeah. It's health reasons. Yeah. No, for sure. I think that when it comes to like body and like body image, I just feel like it's just something that happens, and it may not happen to everybody, but it did something. Something happened to me when I turned 36. Something did just unlock, and I really am so like my metrics on how I weigh on how I weigh if I'm improving has transformed since I was in my 20s and in high
school. Were you skinnier in, when you were in your 20s in high school?
Yes.
You were. See, I've never been skinny.
Oh, no, I was smaller. Let me not say skinny. I've never been skinny. Always been a thick girl. Always. But I was smaller. And for me, even look back like my early days in fucking New York, and I just thought I was a whale and bitch half my size. Like I, but I think I'm so, but I was not the size that I was then did not have the confidence I have now. So like, it's interesting, right? That I'm bigger than what I was, but I feel better in my body. I love my clothes. I have a good tailor, you know, and I love being able to move. So the fact that like.
And you work out all the time.
I do. I love working out, and I like work out really hard. And so like, I love coming to New York and walking up and down the stairs, and I'm not winded. Like, it's just things like that, like quality of life. I stretch every day. I work out really, really intensely. Like, I steam after. I take time. So I think it's just interesting how much you change, like as you get older, like your outlook on what matters does not fucking matter anymore.
I think about that all the time, because I feel like when I was in college, I was smaller. But at, like you said, at the time, I was like, I'm still a big girl. Like, I'm still plus size. But I was so confident. It was crazy. And in high school. I think in high school, I went to performing arts high school, you know, so I wasn't really that worried about boys because it was really the girls and the gays.
Oh, yeah.
And like,
same. So nice. I was prom queen. I was a cheerleader, class president. Like, I was, I auditioned for an Alvin Ailey's dance intensive straight out of high school. Like, I started out as a dancer, and like, I always, even like, guys who would approach me in high school, it would just be like, I'm going to be a star on Broadway. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, always was like, mom, my true Hollywood story, make sure you say this. Like, at 14, like, just fucking like, new.
I don't have time to run around after school. I've got rehearsals.
Yeah. Like,
I love that. I love that. I wish that I was doing that. I mean, I was. I was in musicals and stuff, but I was not. I was not in that. Yeah. I was in suburban Michigan.
Yeah. Like, where are we going? Where you're from, Melissa?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how did you guys meet?
In comedy in New York.
In comedy, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. My, Marcia Belsky and I wrote Handmaid's Tale, the musical, and we cast Carolina.
Oh, I heard about that. That was all the rage. Yeah.
It was really fun. Yeah,
that was a big, big thing out here.
It was so fun.
That was good, and that was yours.
Yeah,
it was. I remember. I got a you kept going up. It was a tour. I remember you went.
We just went to like DC.
You went DC.
We did DC. Went to Philly. Was there one more?
That sounds like a tour.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't really a tour. We went to DC, Philly. I think we were in Mexico, but it really wasn't a tour. It's like yes,
we would have taken the megabus to Mexico. Yeah, it was really. It was very DIY.
No, but those eras when we were hustling like that. Yeah. Now I can't imagine.
You could not get on a mega bus. You could not.
We took the Chinatown bus.
You know it.
But back then,
we had what I hope is our last bus experience together.
I think it was
probably
2 years
and a half, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, because I can't drive in Virginia because I got a ticket that I didn't pay.
And she's afraid that if she gets pulled over,
so I can't drive in that
state. I had a suspended license for 10 years.
Really?
And I was right.
I love that. I honestly should have just done it. I know.
No, I know. You're a virgin who can't drive.
She's a virgin who can't drive. I tell her that all the time.
Catalina, are you going to learn how to drive? Poor
That's
him.
That's the
Great
other
question.
Thing.
I'll teach you.
The thing is, it's like, I'm like, oh, I want to lose weight so I can have a baby. If I have a baby, I need to learn how to drive because I don't want my baby. I'm not going to be carrying the baby all over the train.
No.
I got to learn how to drive.
Let's do it. I'll teach you how to drive.
Okay. Are you nervous?
I am very nervous. I don't have good hand-eye coordination. Literally, the idea of moving my hands
I think
and moving
you
my
get feet. Confused left and right incredible. Foot situations.
This ain't Texas. Hey, ain't no hold. Are you ready? I've been ready. I have like five boots. I'm from LA. My family from Texas. I'm ready.
Yeah, I've been ready. I have so many cowboy boots. I've been on my cowboy boots.
Been.
I have like several, like seven cowboy boots. I've been ready.
Oh, no, it's going to be lit. You know, there's a rumor she's going to be at Essence. We have to go.
No, I did not know that.
If she's
not.
Well, because I don't know if she's going to tour with every act. I don't know if she has the stamina. Yeah. I think she's tired. She has three whole children and a husband.
Oh, you think she might just pop out and do a little.
Yeah, I think about, or like selective dates and like all in the South or something. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
And then that'd they say cool. she's going to do rock and roll next, which
I heard that.
Oh,
I will
yes.
scream for that. I am a rock and roll girl. People don't know that about She'd me, but I so am a rock and roll girl. I'm right. ready to
Carolina's
go.
Is punk. It's, I loved It's Not a Country Album, It's a Beyoncé Album. And you can just say that for anything mm-hmm. ever. It's so, yeah, it's really cool and really inspiring.
Me and Mary-Kate were talking about this when you just said that I'm punk. We were talking about how, like, Mary-Kate was saying this, and I thought this is interesting. I'm going to talk to you guys about this.
Okay.
She said that Gen Z doesn't go out that much because they don't have as many friends. And compared to the older generations, right? Mm. They don't have as many like friend groups and they don't go out as much as us. And like people who are in different subcultures, like the punk people, like they don't really, the Gen Z punk people don't really go out to the punk clubs because they can be together online.
Online, yeah.
And they're comfortable with mm-hmm. being together online. Mm-hmm. And that kind of stumped me, one, for two reasons. One, because I was like, what's my subculture? And then the other one was like, I was like, well, what am I? Mm-hmm. And then the other one,
Manjaro.
I was just like, yeah,
the Manjaro, Manjaro community.
Subculture.
The Manjaro mommies.
Yeah. But I was like, one, because I was saying to me and Mary Kay, I was like, well, what's our subculture? And then we were like, we couldn't really figure it out. And then I did say, I think I'm rock and roll. And and then the other thing was I was like, how I love the internet, but like I need people. Mm-hmm. And like, what are they going to do?
No, yeah, I think where we were not raised by the, like, we're millennials, so we, like, were blessed to be right at that cusp.
Both, yeah,
yeah so to experience both. And I think, too, I will say this specifically, like, with Gen Z, I could see that happening because they were raised online and then they're also having so much entertainment online. It's not like mm-hmm. the internet isn't fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when there are people like with me and you, if I'm sending you memes and stuff like that, I'm like, oh, I've been keeping up with Catalina, but I know it's not real life. Like when I'm here, I'm like, we need to spend time. I need to look at you in your eye and we need to have time. But I think some people, they're able to feel like, oh, we're staying mm-hmm, connected. Mm-hmm. You know, just via online. I think also too, the issue is that, you know, people are talking about, well, specifically on Black TikTok, which is the only ones I follow, they are talking about how we don't have like a third place. You know, like we work, you know, we have like have our friends, but we don't have a third place. And the third place, I feel like a third place that used to be for us is the church. And I think Black people, I feel like we rightfully have been scarred and kind of like hit it with the Heisman to mm-hmm. Church because of a lot of church hurt that we've experienced. But when I think about it, there are a lot of great and amazing things about church that I love and mm-hmm. I actually miss.
Like community.
Yeah. Food. You know, I'm so community. Yeah. Food. Yes.
I was talking about that the other day. I was like, because my grandma and my mom were in the Women's Lutheran, like, missionary, mm-hmm. this group. My mom is still in the group, and she still, like, goes to church all the time. And, like, but when I was growing up, I used to have to go to these Women's Lutheran
Absolutely.
Meetings. And for me, there was always, like, sometimes we would go to the Korean Lutheran church in Chinatown in Manhattan, mm-hmm. and we would... I would be like, yeah, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Cause I knew that the girls were gonna come with the kimchi and the food.
Period. Buzz down. A hot pot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing too. I feel like we've lost a lot of that. I feel like a lot of village has kind of like dwindled away. I feel like where we could go for, cause the church, I mean, that's where I got financial advice. They taught my little brother how to tie a tie. Mm-hmm. You know, like there was just so many like life skills that I was taught. People checked on me and really cared how my heart was doing. And yeah. I feel like millennials on down, rightfully so.
So millennials need the church.
No, I'm not saying.
They need a third location.
This is not hoes with church. This is not
this is
that.
It's evangelical.
Yeah. But for me, I'm just saying that I think that the church is rightfully being critiqued, like, for the lack of progressive stances that they've had,
right.
lack of women in charge, homophobia, transphobia, a lack of support of all its members, right? Yeah. And truly, like, that is God. Like, Jesus loved, like, he fucked with everybody. No one talks about Rahab, who was a prostitute, who God loved and was like, okay, I'm gonna use you. You go out and you be the lookout or whatever. So I just feel like I feel for millennials. I feel for us because I feel like specifically Black people, obviously that we don't have that. I don't know if we know like where to go, like where to look for that. I think there's a lot of church hurt and I feel like it's complicated. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's a desire for a community, but then people are like, well, just make it. And I just feel like I am a leader and I'm an entrepreneur and I can build community wherever I am. That's just who I am. But
not everybody has that.
And you shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think we're just at this like weird area as millennials, as far as like searching and trying to have other networks, other things to be a part of, other things. But I think we do need mentors. I think we do need elders. I think that altar has kept me sane many a days, you know, like people that could genuinely pray for me. But I think we are looking for a progressive church, a church that meditates, right?
Start
a church.
The church.
That's what I'm just saying. I'm like, if only for taxes, start the church.
Start
Why
the
not?
Church.
No, church of X?
Church.
Church of X?
It'll turn into a cult.
I'm not opposed to a cult.
I would never run a cult.
You wouldn't mean it, but it would become a cult.
I think I could accidentally start a cult. Anyone could accidentally start a cult, and it could turn out really great. No one talks about that. What about when cults go well?
Yeah, all we know is twin flames. What about the others?
Okay.
Yeah, that's all. And only the bad ones get press is the thing. Like, the good cults are functioning. So
yeah, I know.
I'm in. Yeah.
I think, you know what you were saying about, like, having, like, a mentor and having someone, like, you know Liliana, my niece, she's trouble.
That's someone who could join a cult.
She could get sucked into trouble, a cult. But now her grades are much better. And it's like, even though I get so frustrated with her, did you say she should join a cult?
I said she could join a cult.
She could join a cult, yeah.
I could see that. She'd be a great recruit.
She would be a great recruit. Actually, I don't know. She has a lot of attitude.
She does.
She does have a lot of talk back, so I don't think.
She'd get to the top pretty quick, yeah.
But I was saying, like, I get so, like, sometimes I get fed up with her. And then I just remember, like, you know what? So many people, and you know what? When you bring up church, like, it was people in church. Like, I had my godmother, Cynthia. I had her mom, Miss Ferguson. And, like, all these people from my church who were there for me outside of church and were, like, the
spiritual
older
spiritual mother.
People.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
We don't talk to our neighbors anymore. We don't know who they are. Like,
I talk to my neighbors. I live in East New York and we all chilling.
I know, Catalina, but that's very specific. Like, you and I do that, but we have that type of personality. And
but
I
also have that. I live in a neighborhood where we are talking to each other.
Yeah. That's like a blessing and that's a privilege. Yeah. That's not like the norm. But I feel like that, like within the church, like I was able to get so much like good advice. Like, I want to say every job that I had, even some that were entertainment related, because then Bishop Swansea, who was my pastor, may he rest in peace. Like,
only
like
in his LA daughter, is the bishop hooking you up with the job and entertainment.
Well, no, his daughters like worked like within entertainment. Then this person, like, I got hired at TSA because one of the people that was in charge of hiring people at LAX was a member at my church. Like, there was so much like organizing happening there, you know, like, and there was somebody there that could help you, you know. So I do miss that. The Bible says it's good for brethren to dwell together in unity. And I really believe that, you know? So I just feel like as far as Black people, as far as millennials, I do feel for us to have that. Cause I do feel like we're really out here lost. Like, we're drinking a lot.
The Gen Z is worse than us though.
The Gen Z, and I'm watching that, but I feel like my brother is so old. Like, he was raised, I'm 17 years older than him. Mm-hmm. He only has all older cousins and he's always around my friends. So he's so mature.
Your brother is not an example of what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't even look at him as like, I don't know.
But even when you say the third location, like, I'm just thinking now in like sitcom terms where it's like you have the home, you have the work, and then you have like the bar or the whatever. Or even, it doesn't have to be a bar, like, you know, alcohol wise, but like the gathering place, the restaurant that everyone always goes to or whatever.
The diner.
Yeah, exactly.
Or even the house, because now
the
like
there's shop for friends.
Yeah, there's exactly. There's a lot of content out, guys, how expensive it is to be a friend. Like now a lot of people have like really bought into this whole like consumerist ass, you know, way to have a birthday. And it's just like, you know, and then for like Black women, they're talking about like, you know, if my nails are not done, my weave is not done, my lashes, mm-hmm. if I don't have a full, like, how can I have a birthday? And it's just like, bitch, I literally, Catalina, if you knew me in LA, I had a party every year. Every year is my year. I still believe that. Mm-hmm. I stopped having them when I moved to New York because I was so poor. I was so mm-hmm. broke. And I was like, mm-mm. But I didn't give a shit. What? Like, it was just like, I just want people. So I feel like that too. Like, why can't we have a third place and you come to my house and we all cook? Like, why mm-hmm. can't it be just community based? Because I feel like we're all kind of like buying into this whole thing that it has to like look like this. It has to be STK, go fucking mm-hmm. truffle butter on my fucking pork chop.
Or even just right. like the content online of like people having like their friends over for like, game night or those nights where that. It's like they make everyone works a charcuterie board or everyone makes like uh-huh. a drink and like mm-hmm. that stuff is all fun. But like that it, to me is a little performative or they do like, I'm not shaming it
because it's still
it
aesthetics. No, it's no, no. And I'm fun. Not saying it wasn't fun. Cool. And I'm not saying don't invite me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, yeah, yeah. I want to be there. Yeah, I'm, just yeah. not, I'm probably not going to give you that. And then also like one girl I love, I follow her. I can't remember her name, but she did like a Galentine's Day thing at her house. And she's an influencer, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh my God, is this a bridal shower? Like flowers.
Yeah.
Places.
And it's like, because I love my cake. Girlfriends. Yeah, you know, it's yeah, always yeah, yeah. like, only the best for my girls. And it's just like, girl, we are broke. Girl, I am one cancer diagnosis away from the poorhouse. Please believe me. Don't let my youth be not intact.
If you come to my house, you are going to be fed well. And that is all I can promise. When we get drunk, mm-hmm. and I always have edibles, and we will feed
and
you.
And you
will be
are so much more
well.
Prepared. Like, every time people come to my house, I'm like, oh my God, I have like this leftover sushi from 2 days ago and like a cheeseburger that's half eaten. And like,
no,
I'm
me
sorry.
And Catalina are hosts. She knows yeah. when she comes to
it's
my,
amazing.
When she comes in yeah. town, we bust down. I had a whole ass spread for her.
Yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
love good vibes in my home. Like, I spend a lot of money on,
you'll
see my money in my house. That's where it's at.
And I will feed you, but we're going to have to order. Is yeah. my thing. And, like, I just want to have it.
Baby, some
I
want to
work
order,
towards having
cook.
Groceries.
Yeah, as long as one of us eats. As long as that is.
Maybe this year.
I feel you, Manita. And I know that you've probably seen that as well about just everything is such like content now. Yeah. And that's why let's unpack this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's unpack, this.
Unpack is this. Are we at the unpack stage? We've been unpacking all day because
we've been unpacking.
Yeah. I fucking love
these
two. That's
what this podcast is. It's an unpacking, but like, let's unpack for real.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gatekeeping.
Mm, what about it?
I'm now on board with gatekeeping.
Yeah.
This is a weird turn of events.
It depends on what it is.
It depends on what it is.
Clubs, locations, bars.
Okay, yes.
Underground stuff that you like.
Outfits and clothes and makeup and hair and stuff. Tell me what it is.
No, okay, listen. So that's the thing. I don't mind because I realized I was like, oh, I'm a hypocrite. Because I was like annoyed that this guy, I met him at this like industry party and he smelled so fucking good.
And he wouldn't tell you what his perfume was?
No, and I got so angry.
But that's Rihanna.
And I got so angry. And I got so, but
Rihanna
it wasn't
won't
Rihanna.
Tell anyone. I know, but Rihanna
I
wouldn't
even
ask
Rihanna. That's Rihanna. This is Rihanna. This is this person.
Oh, I thought he was like famous or something.
No. I mean, he's like famous-ish, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah, but he still
like,
wouldn't
not,
tell you what it was.
Definitely not.
But he's not Rihanna.
I'm on the fence
no.
with this.
Okay, no.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's my thing. The reason I realized I was a hypocrite is I'm like, why is he gatekeeping? Why is he gatekeeping? And then my friend was like, I told her about this spa that I'm taking her to for her birthday. And I was like, let me, and I had like a whole ass talk. You know, Black people, we love to do that. We look like, listen, okay?
You better not get up in there.
Don't you better not act the damn fool. Not that. But two, this is not for you to take anybody. I said, bitch, this is my church. I love this spa. Catalina, I'm going to take you, Manita. It's far. I only take my favorites there. I've taken four people there. It's outside of LA. It's in California, but it's a minute.
Okay.
Right? It's very private. Nobody knows. It's all old white women. Nobody's posting and everything like that. And then she was like, oh, but when it comes to the scents, you got mad that, oh boy, didn't it? I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, I'm a hypocrite. I'm actually into gatekeeping. Because for me, this is why I don't gatekeep scents. Excuse me. It's not going to smell on you the way it smells on me.
That's true.
Also, I layer my shit with butter, a scented oil, and then I chase it with my spray. Right.
This just reminds me of Marie came to Sydney's show last week. Remember Sydney's show?
Yes.
and she smelled. I'm not a perfume person.
I know she smells good. I know she smells good.
No, she always smells good, but this was different. I wanted to lick her. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? I was like, what is this? What is this? And she told me what it was. I don't remember. I got to follow up. It was two different things that she doesn't usually wear together. And she mixed them together when you just said that. When you talk about layering it. She fucking layered.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was like, you have me wanting to be a scent person, and I'm not.
Oh, I'm a big scent person.
I have one perfume.
But I think scent is so personal. If somebody doesn't want to tell me, I hate it. But I'm like,
yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah, and that's why I say Rihanna. I'm like, I get it. And I got it because you had it.
I know. If I say one word, if I mention any brand, Carolina's on her phone buying it in a second.
Immediately.
Crazy. And we're together all the time.
Because I have buyer's remorse. And I am.
Oh, I hate buyer's remorse.
I have always known how to dress since I was little. Like, me and my mom were in vintage stores. We go to garage sales, yard sales. Like, I always know how to put shit together. Mm-hmm. But I love vintage shit. I love one-off shit. I love collecting. Shit, truly, every Saturday.
We gonna always be put together.
Always. Kissing yet a gown at 13. to the carneseria just to get pan dulces in the morning. Like, it's Saturday morning. Mama like, why are we at the grocery store? Then like, she says, mija, you need your doily. You need this. You need that. I'm like, oh my God. But for me, I've always known how to dress. So I like love, Melissa, I love, like, if you come to my house, which you will at some point, I like love collecting things. I love things that
everything
I want.
So
I love
cool.
limited drops.
She told me. She was like, yeah, her house like is insane.
Yeah.
And
her bed, all the pillows.
I love
color.
Oh,
it's
my God.
So much color in my home.
Amazing.
So for me, it's like, okay, even with that stuff, I am fine with not gatekeeping that. And with my scents, I don't. Especially like, I'll tell you, I'm like, girl, this perfume is actually $500. Here's the dupe. But the $500 one, if you want it, you got to go to Saks. Like, this is it, right? So for me, I was like, okay, so I guess I'm actually into gatekeeping. And it's because, you guys, when something is like organic and intimate and dope, all of a sudden, one of my favorite spots to fucking eat at in LA, it's an old school hood spot. Never no line. I go in there. It's they have
somebody
a good enough people to keep it.
A
fucking TikTok. Yeah. Yeah, and so now I'm just like, no, fuck that. I'm gatekeeping shit because now everything is content. Like, my homegirl told me, because I was never into Art Basel. I'm not an art bitch. I have like, you know, Novi. So Novi is, she's like one of my best friends and she's like the art bitch. So I fucking just tag along with her and just la, 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 act like I know what I'm looking at. And some stuff I end up liking, right? But she was telling me like how dope like Art Basel was. And I'm just like, oh, it just seems like just fucking Art Coachella now.
It's not a great place to view art. You're
yeah.
in a big like convention center. It's really sterile. It feels
I will
like
say, I did
the design
go to
was
art
really good this year.
With her.
You didn't go in the thing.
Didn't see a lick of art. And I went
it just
for
seems,
the fun.
Yeah.
And I went
like
for
the parties.
Whatever. And like,
yeah.
you know, come for me. But I
but
admittedly
it
am like, it
now.
Is very Coachella like. It is fun. I wasn't going. I was like, first of all, I like art, but I feel like I'm kind of very specific about what I like. And
same.
I know what I like. And I kind of feel like I already have what I need for the most part. But yeah, it is really
But you're
really
shopping
fun.
For the home.
Yes, I'm shopping for the home. But the thing is too, Melissa, so when you hear about things like what Art Basel used to be, or I went to Afropunk when it was free, you
Me
know,
too.
Like,
oh, okay.
like
Ooh,
you know,
up.
And so
yes.
I just feel like stuff like that, that like it gets, and obviously like, especially Afropunk is like a black ass thing, like get your paper, sponsorships, do your thing. But I just feel like I'm now into gatekeeping certain things, like certain things I will not like. I always post links to what I buy. Like, this is my nail tech, especially Catalina, especially any plus size girl.
Yeah.
As soon as I find something
we
I
have to hold each
to
other down we have
yeah
to.
We have yeah. to
if anybody asks me anything like somebody asked me on Michelle Adonis put up a, I was on her podcast she put up a TikTok there was a girl in there asking me about my sweater I was like is it Urban Outfitters like men's section
yeah.
Like whatever you need baby girl and like people always will ask me like what size did you get what is the sizing like
yeah
that is
what is
places
the fit?
Places are different
places
yeah.
are different
literally
but that's
the fabric
why we
of
need
what
to
something
understand.
Is gonna change
yeah
and before TikTok word of mouth was actually a really easy way to do that because the right people would tell the right people and you would recommend and it was like organic and now it's just not like that. Like anyone can see anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I will say.
I hate it, Melissa. I hate it.
That sucks.
I hate it, but I'm also like gonna give the girls what they need, especially because I'm plus size. I'm like,
yeah, when it, like I said,
clothes,
when it's
clothes.
Yeah.
Because when you're looking at me, I'm like,
But places in like different like underground, like, you know, like speakeasy type shit and all that stuff. And I feel like if we know that this is a place and we're all vetted and we're like, we want to keep this vibe going, Melissa's only going to invite another cool ass person. They're only going to invite another cool ass person versus it's like, it's just on TikTok and like everybody's and running in. And now like literally I went to the Freeze Art Fair with Novi who I, and it was like a, I guess our version of like an art bezel was in a big thing. You guys, it was so many fucking people, so much content. Lines. Somebody even had the fucking, what's the like extender
selfie
thing?
Stick.
Selfie stick and walking around. It just felt so icky.
I have one, well, but this is why I'm never going to be an influencer because I have one and I always forget to use it.
And you're like kind of dangerous with it too.
I am a little
like,
violent
it's
with it.
It's like people but are in danger when bonking people.
I truly would love to be an influencer. I would love that. It. I would love to be like, but I just always money forget to take the photos. I don't have the, I, yeah, thank you for being honest. Wow.
Truly.
Grab me up.
It's a lot of work.
You, that's
it's
your
a
dreams.
Tough job.
I don't think you do.
It could be like second tier of your career. Like a full blown influencer is, I think, a lot more work and like, I don't, not boring work, but kind of boring.
Yeah,
work. You know,
it
it's
is.
A lot
when you think
of
about
photo
it,
photo
like,
editing and like,
I don't even know how to
well,
do that.
Someone on TikTok who became like super duper famous and then like moved into a high rise in New York, he started scaling down because he was like, I recognize like that everything I do is content. It's ruining his friends and his friendships because he's like, oh guys, I didn't get that. Let's toast again. Mm. Or like, he can't watch TV like without figuring out what is his take? What is he going to post? What is he going to do? Like literally everything is content. Mm-hmm. So he said he realized he left his 9 to 5, which was a jail. He said for like a diamond jail. Mm-hmm. So it's still a jail, but it's just a diamond jail.
Handcuffs.
Yeah. So
yeah, you're two in the moment.
And I was, and then also too, we don't know what these fucking apps are going to do, Manita. You don't want to like have your primary source of income be contingent upon that. Because I remember when Instagram went down for a day, either last year or
everyone
the year before last.
Yeah.
And I'm like, baby, I got my MailChimp. I got my email list. I got my website. You know, I have stuff outside of this. Like you can't, you have to be, and my mail list is like organically built over the past 7 years when I started Potato Salad. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, no, I got a cute 3,500 people on here. This is great. Like this is, and we can keep building and doing that. But
that is smart.
Yeah. I don't think really you're built smart. For that. And then with the kid coming, no.
Well, not yet. It hasn't.
No, we speak that in Jesus' name. You're going to get pregnant.
And then, you know, maybe I just become like a mom blogger. I become like.
Wait, why is it
content?
Melissa.
Well, I tried to be in a couple.
I gotta support my girl.
I tried to be in a couple, like a couple's influencer.
Yeah, the husband is not.
Oh my God, I love.
He is not with it at all.
It's non-consensual influencing with the husband.
Oh my God.
He doesn't know he's on camera. He doesn't know what's going on.
You should do it with Frank. I feel like Frank would do it.
Oh, is Frank your man?
Frank's your man.
I love that.
But he's also, I feel like, too cool.
Yeah.
Is
No, we could do it.
Is he an artist or what was he?
He sells vintage. Leisure Center is your Lower East Side solution for vintage clothes, shoes, books, posters, home decor, and cute downtown fashion boys. Shop for the boyfriend you have or pick one up while you shop for you. With men's, women's, unisex, and a full range of sizing, Leisure Center delivers the hottest vintage fashion for everyone. Get 10% off online with code HOSE or mention it in-store for discount. Leisure Center at 48 Hester Street in Lower Manhattan.
Yeah, he's got a store.
When you were talking about community, I thought about that because it's a lot
of
guys.
His store is very community.
Coming, yeah. I mean, like, you know, people of all genders, but a lot of men come there to talk about clothes and talk about community.
So cute.
And in vintage.
To be honest, there's a lot of hot guys there.
But it is. There's a lot of hot guys, but I'm like, I'm always saying you're selling male intimacy. Like, it's literally these guys being able to come together and be like,
I love that, though.
I think
that's amazing.
It is.
He's stopping them becoming murderers one vintage jean jacket at a time. Shout out to Frank.
Shout out to Leisure Center.
Yes. So he needs to be on the subculture of this pod called Frank with Feelings.
Mm. Oh my God. Wow. Frank with Feelings is so
Frank good. With Feelings. We always say we want to have our lovers here. But I'm just like, how many's not going to talk?
I feel like I got to protect him.
No, he's going to start working. He's going to start fixing this fucking table.
And embarrass me.
No, I think he would actually be a tell-all.
He would tell all my business. He'd be like, you know what she did to me yesterday? I was asleep.
And you talking about Ramadan, talking about you need support. I said, Carolina need her ass beat. He the one out here just drinking water
starving.
And prayer. Just out here, just vibes on vibes. And you over here like, where is the...
We have to cook and they are grumpy. I stand on it. I have to cook a lot and they are so grumpy. Their breath smells because they can't eat or drink water. Their lips are dry and cracked. No one's talking about that. No one's talking about that part.
Okay.
I do. It sounds bad. Yeah. And I think I would be really bad at doing Ramadan.
It's like, personally. I'm in a good mood today no and you're not either, in a good mood. No, you can have sex at night dark. After you've eaten, but it's like, you just spent the whole day being kind of grumpy to me.
Wait, you being mean, I done made you doubles and fucking shrimp and salad. Yeah. And all of a sudden you're like, let's get it on. Yeah. It's like, no, you were not nice. And also women, we're wired differently. It's just like not, well, for me, I know some women, they could just vroom, vroom, get it going.
I sometimes have the attitude.
I have to be primed, yeah. What's your sign?
Virgos.
We're both double Virgos.
Wow, I'm a double Leo.
Ooh. Oh,
wow.
Very, very strong. Spicy.
Strong.
You're like, yes, I am a community leader. I am a very cult leader. I love doing it.
I also feel like I am a community leader as well.
You are.
I'm a community leader. I lead a very small community. Mm-hmm. You know, my Hamide's in it, Sydney, and Mary Kate.
You actually house people.
Yeah.
She has a home for wayward girls.
I have a home for I've wayward girls. There. Yeah, I just always have like no. Paris you're left very over last night. Like
you're very community oriented, community. Absolutely. But I feel like that's the cheat code. I feel like the issue is that everybody's just kind of like thinking that, oh, I have to one up Catalina. Like I have to be the best, and I think wanting to be the best is
one up me. Then it's very easy. Go ahead.
I think if you want to be the best, I think that's fine. But I don't think I need to be the best, and Catalina needs to be the worst. Like I don't think I need to win, and Melissa needs to lose. Mm-hmm. I just really feel like that's the cheat code, and also just as Black people, I feel like that is what binds us so much community. Like you know, like the fact that like my aunties need to help me like with you know my prom dress. The fact that oh we're gonna have Catalina do your nail. Like there's everybody just kind of shows up for people in different ways, which I feel like by nature, that's how we are. Cause we have to, we don't have enough resources, but I do believe that's the cheat code. And I know it sounds kind of cheesy, but I genuinely get more joy in seeing the homies win than my
own.
Yeah. Because I know how hard they work. I know the work. I know how hard you've been working out. Like, you know how hard Melissa works and has been like working out these jokes and coming up with these concepts and trying to be original and taking risk and doing genre bending shit.
But when
and
I
then
think,
when it pays off, it's so good.
But yeah, I also like beautiful. If Melissa wins, then I win.
Same.
If Sydney and Marie win.
But you know what, Manita? Let's unpack this. Unpack part two. I think that you and I can only have that perspective because we only know love. We have been loved. And Manita, when I tell you, the more and more I talk to comedians, the more and more I talk to artists, the more and more you just talk to people, that is not everyone's base reality. I only know adults, elders. My mom is obsessed with me.
My mom's obsessed with me.
To this day, I'm like,
mom. Obsessed with me. My mom is definitely not obsessed with me. But that's okay. But I've learned that I've found other community and other people who do.
And that's fine because my birth father is not obsessed with me, right? I had a parent, right? But then back to the church. Like there were so many people that supplemented that whole father figure that was lacking in my life. But Catalina, like I only know, like my mom was fucking selling Easter baskets on Crenshaw to pay for cheer uniforms. Like no matter. And my mom is Mexican and she's not been in this industry. Like my mom has worked physically laborious jobs. She only knows to work hard. And any dream that I had, she knows nothing about the industry or anything like that. But she's like, my daughter wants to do something. That is enough. And I think that that is a privilege. Catalina, you'd be shocked. Yeah. The more I might talk to people, even people who I know to be so kind to me and so loving that they're still a little in them because they're so afraid. They don't know how to trust. They've never had like full unadulterated, like unconditional love. I think you and I can only have that perspective. And it's like, I'm so happy because you know that that doesn't take anything away from you. You are secure in who you are. You have love.
Yeah, I have love, but also just like, I mean, if like, for instance, if Sydney and Marie do well, you know, that's a nice dinner for me.
Right.
I'm at the good restaurants.
Yes.
But you know but what I mean? Because so like, you have love, you know that they love you. You guys have trust. And you can feel safe and know that, okay, yes, we finna go out. They would never cut you out of their wings.
Of course. And also, I think it's really interesting what you just said about like people knowing love. I do think you're right that that does affect people because so, you can tell when someone it like doesn't know how to be real friends with people.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You know what I mean? When people have like friendships and it's like, you can tell like, okay, you guys are industry friends. You guys are like, you guys are friends for camera. You are friends for like
entertainment associates.
Entertainment
I tell
associates.
Cindy that all the time. She like ex-dragged me. Cause she like, I'm going with a friend. I said, that's not your friend.
That's your entertainment.
And she does that. I said, I have entertainment associates. Mm-hmm. I have peers.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some people are just my peer. You may know another comedian's name. And they're like, oh, yeah, your friend such and such. She'll be like, oh, she's my peer. Like, yes, we're both in the same industry. Then you may have people that are entertainment associates that you're going to the comedian girl brunch dinner. And it's like, oh, yes, pop a selfie, bitch. We're going here after. Mm-hmm. You want to share Uber home? But Catalina's your friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that because I know love and I've been loved fully and my mom did not get it right. Definitely. I'm not trying to sit here and say like there's no trauma and shit. I had to unpack in fucking therapy. But I feel like I'm so comfortable loving so fully and I love hard. I don't know how to just do like, oh, just whatever. Like, no, you're going to have the sweater off my fucking back if I genuinely say I love you. And I think a lot of people are so broken and they're so like battered and unhealed. I've had people that labeled my niceness as being fake.
Yeah.
Because they're so battered and bruised. Like there was this one guy I gave a compliment. I was working at the Timing Building. I was like, oh my God, I love your shoes and your hair. Oh my God, you look so good. And then he was like, oh my God, thank you. You're so nice. And his friend next to him, he was like, yeah, almost a little too nice. That is like etched in my brain forever. And it like made me stop giving compliments for a second. And then I had to catch myself like, no, bitch, you're broken. And you mad I didn't give you a compliment. And you're also a hater because your friend got the compliment.
And that's so sad because that does stop people. Like, obviously it didn't stop you, but like it does
for
stop
a
people
second,
from wanting
to.
it does stop people from wanting to go out of their way to be kind to people. And when you think about it, like when people compliment me or just like randomly on the street or like when you're walking down the street and like someone's like, yes, girl, you know what I mean? Like, love doing that to other people, especially because it's like, first of all, bitch, you did put that on.
Absolutely.
You put it on.
Yeah.
And you deserve to hear that you put it on.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm going to give you what you deserve.
Yeah. But that's why people have to. That's crazy. People are deeply, deeply afraid to be introspective and go to that place and open up that gate. Cause I think they think that they're not going to be able to close it. I think if they really peel back those layers and get into that trauma and go to that place that they've been hiding forever, they may be like, it may just overflow. Cause I feel too, some people shouldn't process without a person who is well-versed in like the physicality of trauma and how it 100%. Shows up without them. Someone can have a heart attack.
Absolutely.
Like allowing memory. So
stuff
I feel
will
like
unlock it inside your body.
When they say stress will kill you, it has for some people.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do think, Manita, that I see the way that like you are with your dad and your mom and stuff like that. Like you are just so blessed to have like so much love. And I think that's why you can't give what you don't have. So some people, I feel for them because it's not like they don't have steak. Like they don't even have a refrigerator. Like I need steak, but it's not that you don't have any meat. You don't even have a goddamn refrigerator. Like we're not. And then what do you do? Because I was thinking about this scripture the other day when the Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But a lot of niggas don't love themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
True.
So you are treating me the way that you love yourself, which is you don't.
And that's tea. And that's tea. And
you have to
remind yourself of that sometimes. And I think for like, when you're like, okay, that person doesn't like me or that person is mean to me or like they can't stand me.
It's not personal.
It's like,
it isn't.
I truly have never done anything to you. You just don't like me because you don't like yourself.
Not only that, Manita, I have experienced too, a lot of people don't like your light. A lot of people don't like that you shine. A lot of people feel like your shine outshines them. Like a lot of people are just not okay with that. And also too, like I think as I get older, because I was a little Judge Judy and just a religious little bitch, and I came to New York and literally, I literally, no lie, you guys, I literally met an angel and she was in the form of a stud. She was a black girl. She was a stud. I literally know I met an angel because I was like, because I told you, you know my story. Like I came to New York on vacation, fucking stayed and was like, I'm fucking doing it.
Crazy.
Really? I don't know the story.
Yeah. I came to New York on vacation from LA. I'm from LA, born and raised. Yeah. And so I came here for 2 weeks, worked Fashion Week, had a like life altering experience when I went to go see Motown, the musical. And the director, Charles Randolph Wright, was like, you have a responsibility to live your dream and you have to do it now. And at that point, I had quit acting for the third time. So I was out here and I was doing makeup. Like I quit. I was like, acting is clipped. But every time I quit acting, I was doing something creative. So I quit acting, went to film school, quit acting, did costume design, quit acting, went to makeup. You know, like I always did something creative, which now as a producer, I'm very grateful because I'm not a master, but I'm well-versed enough to give notes, right? Because we had a producer that has no notes. You're like, I don't like how it looks. It's like, okay, bitch, do we need to turn up the blue? Do we need to turn it down? Mm. Like, is the F-stop on the camera too high? Like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, you're just like, I don't like, Catalina just said, well, what? Is it highlight? Is it what? You know, like, I just be like.
Is it too much blush?
Yeah, like, the producers is just like, okay, bitch, go read a fucking book, you know? Yeah. But yeah, so I came here. And one of the first like jobs I had, I was working at a Unique thrift store downtown and I was determined to get hired to get out of there. So at the time in 2013, we still had our business cards, right? And so I had business cards that had my face on it so no one would forget me. And I would bring like between 20 to 25 a day. And I was determined to talk to 20 to 25 people and pass them out. Because as I kept talking to people in these thrift stores, there were costume designers, there were PAs, there were just like rich people that just like to outsource shit because Unique is gone now. Mm-hmm. But you remember it on Jay and Fulton.
I know.
They had like a Chanel ski suit for $40. Like they didn't even know what they had. They didn't know how to price it. Like it was like truly like... It was like not even thrift. Some stuff was like vintage, like quality pieces in there, right? So finally,
Melissa's drooling.
Like, I know it's gone, Melissa.
That fucking
and
sucks.
The one in the Bronx
that's her
was
dream.
Like,
you said $40 Chanel ski like, scoot, and this bitch was like,
No, I know.
Fuck.
Now I know, and I know I can already guess your size. If I ever find it, I'm on it.
Thank you so much.
I'm on it, Melissa.
Appreciate it.
So then when I like was determined, and I finally met this chef, and he was like, "Oh, I work at Rebar. Like, you should come." And so when I first started working there, I was like, "You know, I'm acting. You know, I'm back. Like, I had this amazing like monumental moment on stage in Motown, and like I'm acting again, right?" So this woman who comes up to me and she has like a beer in her hand and she was like, "So what are you doing?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm acting and stuff like that." And she was like, "So what do you want to do?" And I was like, "I just want to like act and like do theater, like Broadway and stuff." She's like, "Why?" And I was like, "What do you mean why?" And I got so angry with her because I didn't know why.
Do you know why now?
Yes.
Why?
I mean, I want to act because I want to like create these stories and live in these people and honor these feelings and moments that can transform people forever.
Damn.
Truly. And also like when she was like, why? She was so big on community. She was like, and for who? And I was just like, and then I was like getting angry and I was just like, yes. I was like, because I've always been writing and producing, always been community oriented. But then I was just like, yes, I want to work with people. And then she was like, I like that you're getting angry. I like it. And she's like looking at me and I was just like, what the fuck is happening, right? And she was like, you need to know why. Like, I'm telling you this. Yeah, she's like, I'm telling you this because I love you. You need to know why. And I literally like turn away to like go like take someone's order and she's gone. Like, I can't find her. I can't see her. Like, there's no way she could have moved that quick away from and left. And I genuinely was just like, oh my God, I really feel like that was an angel, like Mai Dudley and like Preacher's Wife. Yeah. Like Denzel Washington's character, like a fucking angel. But yeah, I mean, and that's why I love New York too. Everyone's just such so fucking real as shit.
Yeah.
And will tell you to your face, like if they think you're a fraud, it's like, she's like, no, why? And no one really would tell me or like fight me on like the why, like, what are you doing? Like I was just like creating and doing it. So I'm very grateful for that person for sure.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Really, and it beautiful. Just made me sit here and be like, well, why do like, I want to do it?
I'm like, what is your why?
Yeah,
we should think about that.
Yeah, we got to really
talk about that in the next business meeting. Yeah.
Why are we doing this?
Yeah, it's like, what's
I think we kind of know. We kind of know, but it's not specific.
Yeah, we got to get specific. Yeah.
I think that's why. I mean, the specificity of even like when I produce shows, like I've gotten better because I started at 19. So meaning I was bad for 10 years. And then you finally figure it the fuck out. Right. And so I think it kind of unlocked for me that I kind of knew what I was doing when the first potato salad hit. And I think with Who Made the Potato Salad, the format is not original. There's something called Sketch Cram at UCB. It's no longer happening, though. But they would make a sketch comedy show in a day, and that was so exciting to me. And I was like, wait, I want to do that, which is Black and brown people. But mm-hmm. I was like, I just kept being so annoyed at the comedy shows that I would go to that were not properly produced. You have a show at like 9, 10 p.m. Everyone in the audience is a performer in the show. I was like, where is the music? Where is the dancing? Where is the liquor? Where is the DJ? Where is the food?
The production.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I felt like all my years of like in theater and producing. And here's the thing people need to know. If you want to produce, start learning fucking people. I think people don't talk about that enough. Mm-hmm. All the other logistics, getting a Google Sheet, organizing Google Doc format, all that email, learn people, right? So I think because I had learned people so much and how to go to them, right? I think that's what helped me. So after the first potato salad, I was just kind of like, okay, yeah, no, it's lit. And that was so specific. And I know it was so specific because UCB asked me to bring potato salad to their venue. So I knew like you can take a format that's already there and like fuck it up and blow it out and make it specific to you. You know, like I didn't start from like ground zero in formatting the show. It was one that already existed, right? But I was like, okay, now how can I make it mine?
Did you create Who Made the Potato Salad after you met the Angel Stud?
No, I started getting more specific on
what it was,
the legacy. Absolutely. And I've always wanted, I feel like the third chapter of my life will definitely be more restaurants and community areas in that way. Cool. But for this first chapter that I'm in, I was just like, yeah, there needs to be like, what is my In Living Color? Like, what is that? Mm-hmm. What does that look like? How can I put people on? Like, I mean it truly, in the second chapter of my life, I'm probably going to be a manager.
Cool. Because I can so see that for you.
Yeah. Are you taking client?
Don't put that on tape. What are you doing?
No, seriously. I mean, I'm so passionate about my friends and I pitch them in every meeting. They don't even need to. They're like, X, oh my God, you told this. I was like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Just because I do know some of the funniest and most amazing people. And I feel like people don't understand. I think people don't understand why I get things. And I know why. Because I am a child of God, because he knows that I lift as I climb, he knows that I'm going to carry out his purpose. Anytime I get a thing, I'm opening that back door, right? And you may not, or whatever your purpose is, that may not be your thing. You may not even have the capacity to do that. But I think some people are like, oh my God, X, you're so booked. I'm just like, you don't even know why. Like, this is not for me. It is bigger than me. It is not about me. Like, I'm getting in that door, but best believe, like, at every tier, everything that I've gotten, I pour back into my community, starting at UCB. Mm-hmm. I was a fucking intern. What did I have? Access to teachers. I started the POC Comedy Google group, and I was like, I need all you teachers to donate your time because there's too many Black and brown people that are not getting scholarships. So at every level, and then we move up, and then it was like, oh, and now I'm working with this Facebook series. I need you, producer, to come talk to my group, right? And then we go to NBC. Okay, Justin Spitzer, I need you to come talk. Like, that's why I get things. I know why. I'm very clear on that, right? And so I think why, like, I can pitch my friends because I've been producing for so long, and it's kind of a gift and a curse because I can't turn it off. Like, I'm in Whole Foods and I'm like, this is not the way customers should experience a store. I seriously might need that. It could be a con because I'm always looking for the blind spots. Yeah. Like, it's just kind of like, okay, no, why am I walking this way? It's too cold in this area. This should be faced this way, right? Like, I just can't turn it off. So I think with my friends too, and I do like soft pitch, like, hey, what do you think about this or this about that? Or maybe we can add this to it. And like, I think because I've lived so many lives. Like, I was an intern at RACSC Camera Rental House. There was a point where I wanted to be a DP. Like, I have so many connects in so many places that I'm like, oh, I know who to get Catalina to because she wants to do this thing. She wants music tied to it. Okay, so I know my homeboy who I used to sing in a church choir with, who now produces for Bruno Mars. So now we can see if we can get a couple beats going for Catalina. Like, you know, like, I'm always thinking about that shit. And I think I...
Well, the thing is, I think a lot of what we've talked about today is about how, like, it just reminds me of how people need people. I think you and I both can attest to that. Like, sometimes it's, like, not... You can't get it all on your own. And, like, even just, like, to figure things out. Like,
even someone to see what you're doing from the outside to be like, no, you need this. It's like you're too close to the source.
And, like, what you're talking about, being able to see people and being like, okay, like, in my mind, it's, like, strings connecting, you know?
Oh, yeah, I'm a dot connector for sure.
Dot connector, yeah. We need to be that for each other and also accept that. I feel like that is also hard to accept sometimes.
Because you don't have love. No. You're so broken.
Does somebody want to help me?
No, like, but you're fine with doing that. Some people have had people that were not loyal to them. Some people have said, I'm going to step up, and they don't. They can't trust, and they're scared. And you could tell the telltale sign of, like, a new artist in any form, and it's nuanced, because I'm not saying, like, everybody's like this, but they're so emotionally attached to their work. They're not open to notes. They're not open to feedback. Bitch, the show that I'm producing right now, I don't give a fuck if it's 42 producers. What the fuck do we need to get this shit made? Right? Yeah. And every one of y'all got to do a goddamn job. It takes many hands to make light work, right? Yeah, like, I just need, and I am not, nobody is without help. There is so many motherfuckers, Catalina, who probably ain't even told me that they talked to this person, who talked to that person. They, you know, like, there's so many people behind me working behind the scenes. It's too many people that I'd be damned if I'm out here saying, like, I am a self-made anything. And literally, you can't say that. Anyone that says that is a goddamn liar. He's a liar for sure.
That's so true.
Yeah. Oh,
I love you.
I love you, Catalina.
Well, this was really... I mean, I feel like I went to church or yoga or something. I truly am like, my mind feels...
I said it was going to be good.
Wow. Thank you.
Oh, my God, really, Melissa.
Really, truly, thank you.
No, thank you. It was such a pleasure. I love Catalina. So I, like, wanted to do your podcast so bad.
Yeah. No, X texted me.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, she texted me. She said, these are my dates.
That this is when I'm available. So much.
And I said, and I will get to... Yeah.
That's no, really I love a thing that's properly produced. Like, I don't like...
That's
I don't
Connor.
Think,
that's Connor.
Yeah, that's Connor.
Shout out to...
Yeah, we can't bring her in here on some janky shit. Yeah, she said she wants some fruit and some planted chips. Did you get fruit and planted chips? I was like, let me throw in some little fancy juices, you know, just some healthy juices, healthy sodas.
Mm-hmm. No, seriously, I think that's one thing that I miss about New York, the hustle, that there was so many people on independent level doing shit at an industry level, like industry standard, you know, whatever, you know, that means to you. But for me, it's just kind of like, yeah, this is like on some serious XM shit. Like, I think that you guys don't take no shorts. I think, like, the shows that you guys are doing, you guys always look good. The show is also good.
Oh, my God,
good.
When you come to our show tomorrow.
Oh, my God, what time?
Yeah, come.
Eight.
What am I doing tomorrow?
In Soho at Arlo Hotel.
No pressure.
Oh, my God.
No pressure, but I just thought of that. You're right.
I'm seeing the effect. That's what it is.
When she comes in town, she's like, I got to get on Broadway.
She's a theater girl, too. Well, I'm new to it. So Larry Owens now takes me to shows.
He's okay, like, this so are you seeing Enemy of the People?
Yeah, I want to. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm seeing it in previews. It's too goddamn expensive. So you wait, really, because you live here. But my baby Caleb's in it. He's the only black guy in it. And this text is like very thick. Like, this is like, actors are just like, oh, this is a very hard fucking play to do. But the effect is at the Shed Theater. If you saw I May Destroy You, the black guy who was the bestie, the gay guy, he's starring in it. It was in London. Cool. Limited run 4 weeks. Also, I'm seeing Lawrence Fishburne. On Saturday, he's doing a limited run of this story that he's telling, like a storytelling one-man play type shit. And it's March 10th to March 31st.
Okay,
so
great.
Those are like two limited runs that you guys need to see.
Great.
Yeah, I saw Oh Mary as soon as I touched down.
I'm trying to get tickets. My alerts are on. Like, it's the... Whatever. It's been a comedy of errors of how I've not seen the show yet. And it's like, it's getting really frustrating.
Literally, I bought a resale ticket for $200 and I'd pay four. I would pay four for that.
Yeah.
I'm
just going to end up paying.
Fucking brilliant. Yeah. Oh my, I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed. Yeah. But Catalina knows I come every fall.
Yeah.
And we see shows
we
eat. Okay. Mm-hmm. We do. That's like my thing. I've been doing it for the past 3 years and I'll be back this year.
It was so fun.
It's the best. Like, I love to go and
you know who we had on our show? The last time, was it last winter. It was cold outside. And we went to that. We saw, what show did we see? And then we went to that Italian restaurant.
Oh, yeah. We saw Ain't No Mo.
Ain't No Mo. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it was really good.
And I took you to my favorite restaurant because I love you.
Yes. And it was really good.
Don't say what it is.
Yeah. No. Nope.
Oh, don't tell them. Don't tell them. Don't give it.
And really Melissa, good. I'll tell you after.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And then Grace. Grace with the big
girl. Oh, my God. Yes, she, my baby.
We had her on our show.
She knows.
Yes.
First of all, she's Grace so did. Funny. So we did a workshop she's for so Potato funny. Salad for uh-huh. Black women in comedy where they submitted jokes and got feedback, right? Mm-hmm. So we did that for like 4 weeks. And it was like all these dope Black women. And I was so happy about that because I do recognize like being from LA and then living in New York, I have negated the middle America. Like I realize that like I could benefit from their perspective. Like I need to. So that was one thing that showed me because we had girls from all over in there because it was on Zoom, right? Grace came in there and her fucking jokes. I said, why are you in here? Like, I was like, bitch, you are ready right now. Yeah. She was like, really? Are you sure? Like she, and I know it's hard because especially in the pandemic, it's like you're throwing shit to the wall or into a void. Like, you know, you're not getting any feedback, but her little queer self, she just in there, she likes talking about slavery and pussy. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.
Yes,
and she's a fellow so church girl, funny. So we like relate a lot. I think, I don't know if she grew up Pentecostal, but I did, you know, baptized, speaking of the tongues, the spirit of God give utterance. You hear
a Pentecostal,
me?
I've been to a Pentecostal church. That is
all
church.
Went on Sunday.
That
we
is
did foot washing.
Church.
We did foot washing communion. I had to wash your feet like Jesus did.
I love that. Melissa's I love that.
Like, I love Melissa's like, okay. I'm here for the food.
I was actually just thinking Connor's going to lose his mind because we've gone over.
Yeah, oh my God, Connor, I'm so sorry.
I did not want to anger the white man.
I just didn't want to think, no, we can't anger him. And also, I didn't want you to think I was grossed out by the foot thing. I actually think that's really cool. and if anybody wants to wash my feet ever, you can do it.
Yes.
Actually, I should probably sell that on Craigslist. That's part of the Patreon. You want to wash my feet? It's
no,
fine.
Truly,
just
get your money.
Yeah.
Okay, I would like to plug my socials. So follow $80 in a suitcase. Also, season 2 of my pod, The Dough, is out now on Lemonada. Wherever you get your pods, I fucking love the producer team, the writing team. They've been amazing. And we just talk about all things dealing with money, honey. And it's really
that.
Good. Yeah, and we talk about the fuck ups, the screw ups, the wins, the losses. It's some of the smartest people I've ever talked to. So please listen to that. Wherever you get your pods, follow me on $80 in a suitcase. I don't know when this is coming out, but I have a bi-monthly show called Ragged Edge. So if you are listeners that are in LA, or you want to fly to LA?
Do you go see it.
Yeah, go see Ragged Edge. It's a live R&B comedy show. And this first one is featuring my baby Brody Brown, who's responsible for all the hits for Fuck You, Someone Like You, 24 Karat Magic. He's the best. And we grew up together in church singing together. So he's our first R&B monologist. So it's a bi-monthly show. Follow me on Instagram. Keep up and come check out the show.
Yay!
Thank you so
Perfect.
Much. This is amazing.
Oh my God, this is so good.
Catalina, I love you.
I knew it would be good.